Skip Heitzik says one of the biggest things we have to look forward to in heaven is how our personal relationship with God will improve.
I know that we enjoy a certain level of fellowship with God now. We call that a personal relationship with God, but you don't see him now. You don't hear him audibly now. I know Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I'm in their midst. I know that. I know that he said, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I know that. But it's very different right now than it will be. Right now, it's very limited. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see how? Face to face.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Have you ever wondered what heaven will be like? Did you ever wonder if there will be fantastic golf courses or if we'll get a chance to fly a spaceship? Did you ever wonder what your house will look like or if you'll get to have a pool or a ski slope in your backyard? Well, today in The Connection, we may not answer all of those questions, but Skip Heitzik will share with us a small taste of what heaven will be like and what we can expect to happen when we get there. But first, if you'd like to get ahead in your Christmas shopping, we have a few gift ideas that will help you do that.
There's one very good reason why you should read the book of Revelation.
This is the only book that opens up by saying, read me and you'll be blessed. Blessed means get happy. The more you read this book, the more you understand about Jesus Christ, the more you understand about His plan for your future, the happier that you will be.
You know, that's funny because happiness isn't something most people associate with the book of Revelation. Well, Skip Heitzik wants to help you change your perspective with his book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, and you can make someone else happy by surprising them with a copy of it this Christmas. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, along with a 2-CD teaching collection on Revelation from Skip for just $15. You'll also get free shipping when you order, and a free Christmas CD. See what's available from The Connection when you visit connectionradio.org. Or call us at 1-800-922-1888.
That's just one of several Christmas packages we put together for you this year at The Connection. So find out more when you email us at info@connectionradio.org. You know, no matter what we will or will not have in heaven, one thing is for sure, we'll have the presence of God. We'll get to see Him face to face, and that's really what's going to make heaven so wonderful. Still, there will be some other cool stuff going on as well, so stick around to find out what.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross and study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Revelation chapter 4, and as you find your place, we'll join Skip Heitzik for some more previews of our future heavenly home.
The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. And this orientation continues all the way through to the very end, when in the eternal state we see the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 2 says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So heaven is up. It's called up in the Bible. How far up? Well, here's a clue in Psalm 8. You have set your glory above the heavens, above the troposphere, above the atmosphere, above the stratosphere, above the mesosphere, above the exosphere, ionosphere, whatever. You sphere out. And beyond all of that, out and up is heaven. You set your glory above the heavens. Now let's just take a little imaginary journey. Let's just play with this. Last night, if you saw the moon, it's pretty beautiful. It's not quite full. It's a waning gibbous, it's called. It's about 90% full. but it's pretty big in the sky. The moon is about 200,000 miles from us, give or take a few. You could actually walk to the moon. If there was a bridge to the moon, you could make it there in about 27 years if you went 24 miles a day on foot. If you could walk 24 miles a day, you get there in 27 years, 200,000 miles. However, if you could go up toward the moon at the speed of light, you'd make it there in 1.5 seconds. But you got to be going 186,000 miles per second. 1.5 seconds, you go up, go to the moon. If you kept going up, you can make it to Venus in 2 minutes and 18 seconds going the speed of light. You can make it to Mercury in 4.5 minutes. You could go to Jupiter in 35 minutes and 18 seconds. You go by Saturn, keep going up, up, up in 1 hour and 11 seconds. You go by Pluto in 4 hours. That's going the speed of light. If you kept going up, 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 out, 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 and made it to the nearest neighbor star, Alpha Centauri, it would take you 4.3 years going the speed of light. It's 4.3 light years away from the Earth. And if you were to go through your galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, going the speed of light, get this, it would take you 100,000 years to go from one end to the other end of just your galaxy. And once you get to the other end of your galaxy, you haven't even made it out of the front yard. Because scientists say there are as many as, one source suggests, 500 billion more galaxies. So, how long does it take to get to heaven? If it's that far up, how far? Instantly, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus didn't tell the thief on the cross, in 100 billion years, you'll be with me in paradise. It's today you'll be with me in paradise. So I understand that perhaps it's a bit naive and erroneous to start measuring the third heaven distances like this because it's in a whole different dimension. But in the very least, when we say heaven is up, we mean it's up above the commonplace experiences of the earth, the commonplace conditions of the earth. It's up. That's the orientation. Notice how John was there. He said, immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. So he was transported to heaven by the Spirit. It could mean that. It could mean I was in a spiritual, ecstatic state. It could mean that. It could also be a clue to the believer's condition in heaven prior to the bodily resurrection. They're in spirit, experiencing all of these things. Something else to notice before we move this toward a close. Notice when John was taken to heaven, it was just John. There's no suitcase that John packed. He didn't say, God, can I take my laptop and my cell phone? I just want to text a few people, maybe a cup of Starbucks because I don't know what's going on up in heaven. It's just John. There's no baggage. I say that because it's true. You can't take it with you. Naked I came into the world, Job said, naked I will leave. You can't take anything with you. All of the preparations, all that you do for heaven are done here. And when that time comes, you go alone. That's why Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You can start storing them up now so they're there when you get there. All right, let's go to the third and final section of this today. Heaven is real. It's a real place. Heaven has a relative position. It's always up in the scripture. The third thing I want you to notice is that heaven highlights a remarkable person. This is, to me, the greatest thing about heaven. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit and behold. And whenever you read behold, it means it's like saying, wow, check this out. Behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance of an emerald. Now, what's the first thing to catch John's eye when he gets there? A throne. By the way, the word throne is mentioned in chapter 4 alone 13 times. 12 times it refers to God's throne. And when you see that word, don't think of a piece of furniture as much as a symbol of authority for the one who sits on it. This is home base for God. This is headquarters. This is where he exercises his sovereignty from, his throne. Now, what I'd like to get you to do in your thinking is not to think of heaven so much as a place, though it is a place, and though it's a real place, I'd like you to start thinking of heaven more in terms not of a place, but of personalities. Let me give you an example. This is a little booklet by Don Baker. It's just simply called Heaven. Here's his experience. He writes, "I've always been fascinated with heaven. When I was younger, though, I thought of heaven only as a great shining city with vast walls and magnificent domes and soaring spires and with nobody in it but white-robed angels who were total strangers to me. And then my beloved pastor died. And then my grandfather died. And then my father died. And then my son died. And then my father-in-law died. And then one by one, my dear friends began dying, three of them this past week." He continues to write, "Heaven is no longer walls and domes and spires, but people. People who are loved and missed. People who are precious and whose faces I long to see. Heaven is like home in many respects. It's not what we have in our home that makes it precious, but whom." That's how I'd like you to think about heaven, in terms of not what, but whom. And the ultimate whom is God himself. Folks, listen. The main attraction in heaven will be God. That's what gets John's attention. He sees the throne and one who sat on it. So though you'll be in heaven if you trust Christ, if he is your Savior, if not, you won't be. But if you do, you will be. But it's not just you in heaven. It's not just about the people that you know in heaven. It's not just about, are your pets in heaven? The real big main attraction, central focus of heaven, it's going to be God. Heaven's supreme delight will be unbroken fellowship with God, real fellowship. Listen to Revelation 21, verse 3, as I read it to you. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people." It's like saying, hey, look, God lives in the neighborhood. His house is right here, right down the street. He's with us. John continues, "God himself will be with them, and he will be their God." Now, the word dwell, skenao in the Greek, means to pitch a tent, to pitch a tent. The idea is to hang out with. The idea is to enjoy the company of. Fellowship. Now, I know that we enjoy a certain level of fellowship with God now. We call that a personal relationship with God, but you don't see him now. You don't hear him audibly now. I know Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I'm in their midst. I know that. I know that he said, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I know that. But it's very different right now than it will be. Right now, it's very limited. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see how? Face to face. Face to face. You see, right now when you pray, it's something like, our Father in heaven. But you won't be praying like that then. You won't even be praying. It's you'll be in heaven. It's like right there, Father. Right there. Right now we say, why, I hear God speaking to me. He spoke to me this morning. Sometimes we're not sure. Was that God's voice? Was that my mother's tapes playing? Was that, what was that? No mistake in heaven. You'll hear, you'll look, you'll see, and it will be face to face. Revelation 22, the throne of God and the Lamb are in it, and they shall see his face. You see how different that experience will be than this one? We live by faith, the Bible says right now, not by sight. Not in heaven, you'll live by sight, not by faith. Full fellowship, unbroken eternal fellowship. Now, real briefly, notice John then goes on to describe God. And it's an interesting description because he says nothing of his form, nothing of his features. He just describes God in terms of what he knows on the earth, the gems that are so brilliant and resplendent. It's like a light show. He who sat there was like a jasper. What's that like? It's not like the modern jasper, which is a bit clouded and a little green. The ancient jasper, we believe, was crystal clear. Probably what John saw was a diamond refracting all the brilliant colors of the rainbow. That's the clearest gem we have. And back in Revelation 21, the word jasper is used, and this is what it says. I saw jasper as clear as crystal. So he probably saw this brilliant diamond-like appearance of God. Second, and like a sardius stone. Sardius stone is ruby red. Maybe it would be better to say it was blood red. And most theologians will say this infers the redemptive nature of God, the blood that was shed to get people to heaven, providing sacrifice for us. And then I saw a rainbow like an emerald, a rainbow dominated by a green hue. So think of it. John gets to heaven and he sees a throne and it's like the ultimate light show. The ultimate light show. Now, if you have ever heard of this term, I'm going to throw it out. Some of you have heard of it if you've read some theology books. Theologians call this, some do, the beatific vision. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, the beatific vision. And the beatific vision was an old theological term that describes direct contact with God. It's the definition of it is those in heaven beholding God or perceiving God face to face, being able to see and hear, the beatific vision. Thomas Aquinas said the beatific vision is the ultimate experience of any human being. In fact, Charles Spurgeon himself preached a sermon entitled The Beatific Vision. Here's a snippet. The thing for which I'd pray above all others would be forever to behold his face, forever to know that I am his, forever to dwell with him. Yes, one short glimpse, one transitory vision of his glory, one brief glance at his exalted and beaming countenance would repay almost a whole world of trouble. It's like all the bad stuff. You see God, it's like, oh, who cares? It's gone in an instant, says Spurgeon. So it's safe to say that heaven will display the glory of God. And I mean fully display the glory of God. 100% uncut, unedited. Take your breath away. Wow. Seeing the glory of God. And here's what I want to end with. This glorious, brilliant, sovereign, resplendent being that John sees, he's your father. He's your father. Jesus said, in my father's house, that's heaven, are many mansions, and he's your father. You have a relationship with him. The glorious, all-consuming one is your father. You're going to be living at God's house. You're going to be moving in with him. And note something about your father. He's going to have a lot of kids in his house, a lot of us children running around in heaven. But that doesn't mean heaven is going to be impersonal. God isn't like the busy dad, gone all day, home late at night, never sees his kids, absent father. Even though heaven is real and heaven is big, that will not take any of the intimacy away from it. And the Bible often will describe heaven as that intimate, face-to-face closeness with God. And friends, folks, I don't think we're ever going to get tired of it. I don't think we'll ever get used to it. I don't think we'll ever be in heaven after a couple thousand years saying, you know, this God thing is getting a little old now. We've been here a long time. Is there anything else? Because the Bible describes heaven as always new. Behold, I make all things new. And it's a continual idea. So this is his kingdom. This is the master's kingdom. It's a lot better than the magic kingdom. Better than a memory. Better than an e-ticket in Disneyland, if you can remember that far back. This is the kingdom of the lamb. It's a lot better than the kingdom of the mouse. This is the kingdom your father has prepared for you. Now, Understand this. God's purpose in creating you is to get you there. Get you there. The way that he gets you there, the only way to get there, isn't by making up heaven what you want it to be, or being a good person, or making up your own way to get there. There's only one way to get there. It has to be God's way. If it's his heaven, it's his house, you can't just decide to go there unless he invites you, and he has invited you. And the provision he has made for you to get there is for you to just simply believe in his son, receive his son as the payment for your sin, as your savior, as your Lord, and you'll get to heaven. If you haven't done that, I want today to be the day you do that. If you haven't done that, I don't care if you were raised religiously, if you haven't made personally Christ your savior, then you make that decision today.
Heaven is going to be a wonderful, amazing place, but there's only one way to get there, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like an exclusive club, the only way is through who you know. Not who you are, how good you are, but only through Christ. If that's not something you can say in your life, that you know Christ and he knows you, you won't get into heaven. But that can change right now. If you'd like to learn how, just call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or you can learn more when you click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. Well, before we wrap things up for today, let's check in with Skip and his wife, Lenya Heitzig.
You know, the longer I've been on the earth, the more I look forward to heaven. I'm not sure if that's how you feel, but I feel we just long more and more. I guess I'm of the age where my body groans.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the word Paul used, right?
Right.
That we groan earnestly to be delivered.
And so as I think toward heaven, and I guess the older you are, the more people you have in heaven you're waiting to be reunited with.
You know more people in heaven than you do on earth after a while.
That's right. I'm wondering what it is that you're looking most forward to in heaven.
You know, I've thought about this a long time. And I think that, of course, it's to see the Lord. I mean, we all want that. And we'll see him face to face. And I think the greatest thing about heaven isn't what's there, but who's there. And first of all, it's going to be our Heavenly Father. You know, when John gets caught up in Revelation 4 to heaven, he's drawn to the throne of God. That is mentioned so often. It's the personality, not the place. It's the one who's sitting on the throne that captivates his attention. But I think also, when it's all said and done, the realization that my whole life was lived under the control of God and that not one moment was ever out of his control. I think we're going to see that. There. I think we're going to understand that there. And I think that's an important thing to have resolved for a lot of people. A lot of Christians are even thinking, yeah, there was a few episodes in my life that I still want to ask God about. I don't think you do. I think once you're there, you'll see how he had it all in control. And it's going to be a rest and a resolve like nothing else.
I agree. That was probably the best answer, that it's not what, but who. And maybe close to that for me, I was thinking, what would I enjoy about heaven? And the phrase that went through my mind is no more tears. That, you know, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I just love the thought of heaven. There's no more sadness, sorrow, pain, tumult. And it'll be so nice to be at a place where there is this exuberant joy to be in the Father's presence.
It's interesting you bring that up, because when John describes what he sees and he describes the experiences of heaven, the best way he can describe it is not by what's there, but by what's not there. So he begins with negatives. There was no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. And I think he did that because he's talking about the experiences we know so well. All of the things that are so bad about this life, whatever things are, the bad things, that's not going to be there. And that's, you know, that gets our attention. Because I think once we get past what's not there, it's like, oh, okay, well, what is there? And then it makes it all the sweeter.
It's going to be wonderful.
Well, thanks, guys. And to get a copy of today's teaching, just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. And of course, anything you can share above that amount will help support this ministry as we continue to bring you these daily studies in God's Word. Call us 1-800-922-1888 or write The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
If you've ever wondered what kind of activity there is in heaven, you'll want to be sure to join us again next time on The Connection as we find out. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.